on a joyous occasion. Glad that you're here tonight on this hot night, and we thank you for coming, and what a testimony that is, being baptized. Now, if we can turn our Bibles to Genesis 3, please. Genesis 3 as our first reading. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God have said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth in the day that thou should eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto the husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 23. Therefore, the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And we'll have some other scripture readings in there as we go. You see, that the verses before that go through the creation of what God created, the earth and the heavens and the stars. And God's objective was to show his glory and to show his love and to show his wisdom, and to show his power. And he wanted man to be a partaker of that goodness. But we see that in these verses here, that they disobeyed God. You know, when the serpent whispered those words into the ears of Eve and Adam, that we think this, that those things of pride, that they could be as gods, that they could elevate from their status from that. You know, I tell you what took place. Humility went out the window and pride came in. You know, this is not some sort of fairy tale or some myth. This is history of man. We believe the Bible is true, every word of it. And so this account actually took place. You know, by one man's disobedience, death came upon all men. May sound not too bad, but think of it tonight. You know, the Russians are shooting at the Ukrainians tonight. Why? Because of this. You know why there's chaos in the Middle East and the Iranians are flying drones over and people are being killed? You know why? Because of this. Because when they disobeyed God, they fell from God. They died in that day. They died. They spiritually died. And eventually they will physically die. That communion with God that wanted to give us all things was broken. And you can see the result of it. Just take a look around at the earth. It's a disgrace. It's chaos. And it's nothing but pure evil. You say, pride, is pride deadly? Yeah. You know, it turned millions or billions even of angels into demons. You know, pride condemned the human race. It condemned them to hell. You know, when Adam fell, the federal head of the human race, we all fell with him. Thanks, Adam. And our nature changed, or his nature changed. And it was out of fellowship with God, and now a sinful nature had come on. And everybody born of Adam has the same nature. If you want to know where all trouble starts, this is where it started. You know, this is the most terrible thing that ever happened. Because it has condemned many souls to hell. But God wasn't caught unawares, you know. No, he knew this before the foundations of the world, that he would have to send his son into this world. You know, he had a plan to redeem man, that he would send his beloved son into this world to become a man. You know, through the virgin, he manifest himself in flesh. Why? Because he had to be a man to die. Because he was going to take on the sin of the world. You know, it wasn't just some afterthought or something like this. You know, this isn't a plan of God, because God so loved the world. He didn't want it to perish. So he sent his son into the world. He was manifest in flesh through the virgin. He lived a sinless life because he could do no sin. Neither was sin in him. He was both God and man. You see, Hebrews says, if we look at Hebrews, it says this. Hebrews 2 and 9 says this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know, God doesn't want to condemn people to hell. That's just justice. He desires all men to be saved. That's grace. You know, Christ tasted death for every man. Every person in your seat tonight, you can take this personally, that Christ tasted death for you. Do you know, when he was taken to the cross by wicked hands, and he was nailed to that cross and lifted up, God placed our sin upon him and poured out his wrath against him. And he tasted death for every man, that we don't necessarily have to taste death. You see, you can say tonight, and I can say with a clear conscience, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. We can bring it a little bit closer. We can say this, that Christ died for your very sins as you're sat in this seat. And if you come in repentance towards God and humble that heart of yours that's in rebellion and full of pride against God, and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you, thou shalt be saved. How do I know? Because he's risen from the dead. That's what we're singing just a minute ago. He rose from the dead, triumphant. What for? For our justification, that we have a loving, living Savior, and his arm is out towards you tonight to save your soul. But you must come. You must repent. You must bow the knee before him and take him as Savior. And I'll tell you what takes place, right? I'll tell you what takes place. A new birth happens. This is what we're saying now, that the old man has gone down into the grave. He's died with Christ. And that this new person and the newness of life is risen again. Out. That's what it means. That's what the baptism means. That we're born again. You see, what takes place is this. That when you put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit quickens your spirit. He makes you alive. It's what we call born again. Can I ask you a question tonight? And some of you, I don't know who some of you are. I know a lot of you. But still, I ask the question tonight. Have you been born again? Can you remember the time when you passed from death unto life? You know, that glorious day, I can remember it as if it was yesterday. As a drug addict, lost, doomed to hell. And I could see this, I could see that I was a wretched sinner before God and I confessed it. And I could see that there was a living Savior that could save me. And those precious words, come unto me all ye that are heavy laden and I shall give you rest. And I took that to my soul and I trusted Christ and I was never the same. You can't be the same. If you're the same, nothing's taken place. You just made a profession. You've got to believe in thine heart. And you'll be born again. Do you know when you get born again, you receive at this point eternal life. You know, I'm a possession of eternal life tonight. Are you? Do you have eternal life? That's the question. Do you know if we read, we can turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I like to read this. In Ephesians chapter 2, he's speaking to the believers, or the saints, he calls that. The believers at Ephesus. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he's just reminding them of what's taken place. He says this, and you he have quickened. That's born again, that's made alive. That's what the word means. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, what's taken place here is that when you're saved, you come out of the kingdom of darkness that we're thrown into. You know, when Adam sinned, he placed us in the kingdom of Satan's realm, lost in darkness under the power of Satan. And this is what Christ has done. He's redeemed you from that. And when you believe, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, made alive. Saved, born again. And we carry on. Wherein in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation. That means our life. That's how we lived. In wickedness, in darkness, bound by Satan. And yet Christ come to smash it with his precious blood. You know, it says this, and among whom we had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. You know, that's a terrible place to be. Imagine that, you're children of wrath. You see, it's not like that you add things up at the end and say, oh, I've done all these good works, so that cancel out my bad works. No. You're a child of wrath because you're a sinner and you have a sin nature. That wrath abides upon you. And there's a day when you're going to meet God. And the only way you're going to escape it, my friend, is that to get the new birth. We carry on. But God in his rich and mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. See, you could never think that God doesn't love you. He would never give his son for you. The way he was treated, as we heard, the way he was, his back was furrowed and the crown of thorns planted on his head. He was spat upon. His beard ripped from his face. Yet he allowed it. It was a determined counsel that he would go to the cross of shame and there die for your very sins. Even though we were dead in sins and have quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, and have risen us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. This is an important thing here. For by grace are you saved. And not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. You know, when I came to faith, it was this. That I had nothing to offer. I was utterly and utterly corrupt and bankrupt before God. There's nothing that God wanted from me. What could I give? A wicked sinner. And yet by his grace that bestowed upon me, I managed to get salvation through faith in his beloved son. You know, it's the grace of God. But there's one thing you must do. You must repent and believe the gospel. The Lord commands it. Repent and believe the gospel. Do you know, I remember the days when I was in sin and in darkness. You know, sometimes it was quite hard to see, and the life I lived to see it clearly. But the day it came clear that Christ had died for my sins. And as you're in your seat tonight, Christ died for your sins. And if you put your trust in him, you'll receive eternal life. But we must warn you. You know, I think we need to understand this and understand it clearly. There is no future for the human race outside of Christ. None whatsoever. If you think that you'll stand before God in your sins and that he will say, depart from me, you cursed, and be cast into the lake of fire, is some sort of future, I beg to differ. But God doesn't want you to go there, my friend. Perhaps you're here tonight to listen, to hear the words of life, to trust Christ as your Savior. Perhaps he's speaking to you tonight. We pray that you take Christ, because it doesn't matter what you have in this world. It doesn't matter, you know, what you achieve, or whether you're the King of England or the Prime Minister or the President of the United States, or that you found a cure for cancer, or you've got a great career. None of those things matter. There'll be a day when they're just swept aside. And the only thing that would matter is whether you trusted Christ. You see, there'll be a question someday, like the hymn writer writes, what will you do with Jesus? What shall your answer be? Someday he'll be asking, what will he do with me? Let's pray. All right.